this weekend is really the high point of the Christian calendar. It really is. And so I want us to return to worship at the end of the preach and really just to declare God's goodness, to raise the roof, because this weekend, right around the world, the church is celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's absolutely amazing. And so as I preach to you this morning, I'm trusting that God will also encourage us and lift our faith. God is on the move. God is doing things all over the world, and we serve a great Savior. So if you have your Bibles, won't you turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. We've been in the I Am series, and this morning we're going to look at I Was Dead and I Am Alive. Although Masala will continue on Sunday and talk about the resurrection, I have no doubt. And so in Revelation chapter 1, let's pick up from verse 9. And John is writing, it's the same John who wrote the Gospel of John, and 1 John. And so he writes and he says, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation, the church was going through tribulation, they were going through persecution, and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He was banished there. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a gold sash around his chest. And the hair of his head was white, like white wool, like snow. And his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Amen. And so what I want to do this morning in this preach, in this word that I feel God has given me, is I really want us to lift our vision of Jesus this morning. To lift our vision just above daily busyness, above the coming elections, above everything else, that we may see him high and lifted up, because that's what happened to John. John was banished to the island of Patmos. The church was undergoing tremendous persecution, and there he has this vision of the glorified Lord Jesus, and he's completely overwhelmed. He's completely overwhelmed when he sees who Jesus really is. And it's so important for us in these days, friends, for myself, for you, for all of us, to have a vision of Jesus as he really is. Because it's so easy to get familiar with Jesus. It's so familiar to just take him for granted. And Revelation is a wonderful letter because it kind of lifts us up to get a peep behind the scenes of what God is doing in the earth today. And he meets Jesus, this one who was dead but is alive, the one who was crucified in weakness but raised in glory, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who's at the beginning of our lives and the one that we'll meet at the end of our lives, the one that started off human history and the one that will bring human history to its conclusion. And John is writing at a time when tremendous persecution broke out against the church by the Romans, the Roman emperors from the first to the third century, where they were persecuted for their faith. And they had to say, is Jesus Lord or is Caesar Lord? And if you didn't say Caesar was really Lord, you were taken to the Colosseum, to the stadiums, you were thrown to the lions, or you were put to death. And Christians died in their thousands. But the more that died, the more that came to faith. When they saw the faith of these early Christians, as one of the writers said, the blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church. And the church is an amazing organization, because the more you oppress the church, the more the church flourishes. And so there's a famous story of the one woman, her name is Perpetua, and she was put to death for her faith. And she was a well-to-do woman, And it took place around 203 after the death of Christ. And they just say that she was a well-to-do woman, and she was arrested with her companions. And her father tried to persuade her to abandon her faith and to turn away from the faith to save her life. But she said, just as everything has a name and it's useless to give yourself a different name, she has the name Christian, and she's not about to change that. And so there was a judicial process, and they tried to persuade her to abandon her faith. And she was pregnant at the time. And she was, I mean, it's incredible, but she was afraid, listen carefully, that her life would be spared because she was pregnant. She wanted to really go and be with Jesus. But her prayers were answered, and while she was in prison, in her eighth month, she gave birth to a girl who was given to another Christian woman, and she realized she could go and be with Jesus. And so, seeing her moan in childbirth, her jailers asked how she expected to be able to face the beasts in the arena. And her answer, she said, "Now my sufferings are only mine, but when I face the beasts, there will be another who will live in me, who will be with me, and will suffer with me." And so she was led out later on into the arena, and she died there for her faith. They say that her hair came undone during her final minutes. And she's asked them to hang on while she tied her hair up, because she said, loose hair is a sign of mourning. But she said, this is a day of celebration. And so it was incredible what the early church went through. And so John himself is not executed, he's not killed, but he's exiled to the island of Patmos because of his testimony, because he refused to stop speaking about Jesus. And there he has this vision of the glorified Lord, and he's told to write it down and to give these messages to the seven churches in Ephesus to prepare them for the persecution that was growing. And what John gave them carried them through that persecution. The church is still going today. Hallelujah. And as the Romans watched them die for their faith, they were amazed at these Christians, and many, many others turned to the faith and turned to Christ. Hallelujah. So this morning I want to ask us, what did John see and hear that made such an impact? Because that's exactly what we need right now. We do need, all of us, a fresh vision of who Jesus is. And so I want to just pick up these few statements that Jesus made to John. Jesus said to him, "Fear not. Fear not, for I died, but now I am alive forevermore. Fear not." Let's pick up that first statement, fear not. He says, "Fear not, I am the first and I am the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega." And Jesus says that many times in Revelation, in verse 8, in verse 17, in chapter 21, chapter 22. He says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega." Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. And what Jesus is telling us is that he really is the beginning and the end of all things. He's the beginning of human history. He's the end of human history. He was at the beginning of your life and my life and your salvation and my salvation. And he will carry us through to the end. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And he gets this vision of Jesus, this cosmic Christ, exalted and ruling the universe, leading the church, conquering Satan, pulling down his enemies. And he gets this vision in the midst of tribulation and great upheaval for the early church. Everywhere it seemed the Romans were in control. It's not the first time that people were worried about bad politicians and people that were in control. But Jesus gives this vision, and it carries the church through to the very end. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying, because of his death and resurrection, friends, he is totally in control of world events. He's totally in control. And we do not need to fear death. In fact, we don't need to fear anything, because Jesus has conquered death and sin and the devil, and he's reigning and ruling forever. Hallelujah. And when John receives this vision, he falls down like a dead man. He's blown away when he sees who Jesus is. This is his Omega moment, if you like. when he sees the risen Christ in all his glory. He sees Jesus as he is now. Friends, if we could see Jesus as he is right now, we would also, we'd fall off our chairs and we would be absolutely overwhelmed. If we could see him as John saw him, as he is now and when he returns on the clouds of glory with his angels. John had had his alpha moment back in Galilee when he first met Jesus of Nazareth, the preacher, and he began to follow him along with his mate Andrew. And he followed Jesus as Jesus was preaching and doing miracles. But this vision of Jesus was completely different. What he saw now was completely different. It overwhelmed him. That was the Jesus who was back in Galilee, but this was the Jesus who is and who is yet to come. And he looks and he's like the Ancient of Days. And his hair is white as snow. And he's full of wisdom. And his eyes are like flames of fire. They miss nothing that happens in the universe. Don't think that the things that are going on in the world today escapes God's gaze. God sees everything. And his eyes are exploding with energy. They're like flames of fire. His eyes don't just look at us, but they look through us. As he comes to judge his church, as he comes to rule over the nations, his feet are like polished bronze and they speak of purity and strength. His voice is like the roar of many waters, which means it must be heard. And he fights his enemies with a sword in his mouth and his face is like the sun shining in its brilliance. And in his right hand, he holds the stars. He holds this creation and he holds the church. Friends, Jesus is ruling and reigning now. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And he's ruler over all the kings and presidents and chiefs and prime ministers. He's ruling over the world. He's ruling over it for the church. And he's bringing his bride to maturity. He's gathering a people. He's preparing his bride. And one day there's going to be a wedding feast. Hallelujah. And we're going to be part of that wedding feast. Hallelujah. And John is completely blown away. He's staggered. He's overwhelmed. He falls down. And I want you to remember that this was the same John when he was on earth. Jesus was his best friend. And he was Jesus' best friend. Do you remember that? He was one of the sons of thunder. He's the same guy that said to Jesus, "Hey Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, can my brother and I sit on your right and your left hand side?" This is the same guy. This is the same guy that had his head on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper. This is the same guy. This is the same guy who calls himself the disciple that Jesus loved. Can you imagine that? He writes the Gospel of John and he says, "I'm the disciple that Jesus loves." I wonder how the other guys felt about that. He says it all over the place. He says, "I'm John, the disciple that Jesus loves." This is the same John. But then when he meets Jesus as he is, when he's been glorified, when he's been risen, he's blown away. He's blown away with what he sees. He's completely blown away. Friends, we need such a vision today. We need such a vision. There are times where we need God to shake us, where we need God to lay hold of us, where we need God to awaken us, where we need to realize, hang on, God is large and he's in charge and he's ruling and reigning. You need that vision, because we can lose that vision so easily today with all that's going on in the world. And that's why he wrote to John. He said, "John, write these things down. My church needs to hear this at this time." And I think today we need to hear this again. We need to catch a vision of the risen, exalted Lord Jesus. We need it so desperately today. Jesus is my friend, but he's not just my buddy. He's the exalted Lord. He's the Lord in Christ. He's ruling and reigning. Hallelujah. And John meets him, and John's blown away, even though John was his best friend on earth. And what's the first thing that Jesus does? Jesus takes his hand, and he puts his hand on John. He puts his hand on him, and he says to John, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I died, but I'm alive again, and I have authority over life and death." He's saying to John, John, when you realize who I really am, you need not be afraid. And he says the same thing to us today, friends. When you realize who Jesus is, you need not be worried. You need not be afraid when you see him for who he really is. And that's what he says. He says to him, fear not. One of the first words he says in the book of Revelation, he says, fear not, fear not. And he touches John. He touches John. And that word and that touch is what made all the difference to John. It's made all the difference to him, because although Jesus is overwhelming, he doesn't want us to be overwhelmed by him. He wants us to also connect with him and relate to him and love him and enjoy him. Hallelujah. That's what he wants. But his voice and his touch is what raised John up. We need that. We need that with one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to do that. I prayed for a woman, preached last Sunday in East London Christian Center, and I was just talking about renewing the mind. And one of my points was on getting offended. And that was one of my points. And afterwards, we had people come up for prayer. And I had this woman come up, lovely woman, and she said, you know, I'm a single mom. And she said, I've raised my son my whole life. I've never got maintenance from my husband. And she just stood there, and she was crying. And she said, and every now and then when I can't pay my bills, I just get so offended with him, and I don't know what to do. And I was just listening to her, and I put my hand on her shoulders. And I said to her, I was going to pray for her, and I felt a check, and I said to her, let me first say this to you. You have done so well as a single mom. You've done brilliantly. And I could see she kind of, I said, no, you've done really, really well. Well done. Well done. The father of this child hasn't done well, but you have done well. And I just spoke words of life over her. I spoke over her and I encouraged her. And then I put my hands on her shoulders and I prayed for her. I prayed God's strength into her. And friends, that's what we need to do with one another. We need to speak, and sometimes we need to touch and just pray for people to encourage them. And that's what happened to John here. John received the voice of Jesus and the touch of Jesus, and it made all the difference. And he passed this word on to the churches. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Rick Warren says it appears 365 times in the Bible. Well, I'm not sure. I haven't done the maths. But that's one for every day of the year where Jesus says to us, do not be afraid. Afraid. Are you afraid of anything today? Are you worried about anything today? Are you worried? Are you concerned? Jesus says to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the Romans. You don't need to really be afraid of them anymore. Don't be afraid of persecution. Don't be afraid of your future. Don't be afraid of the elections and what's going to happen. Jesus is ruling and reigning. I'm not saying we mustn't pray, or we mustn't apply ourselves, but don't be afraid. Fear not. That's what he said to John. Hallelujah. Fear not. We need to hear that today as well. Jesus says, fear not. And why can he say that? What did he do to command such authority? He says, because I died. He said, because I died. Jesus hung on the cross and he bled and he died, paying the punishment for our sins. And even when Jesus was crucified, you may not realize this, but he was still in control. It says in John chapter 10, verse 17, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. What Jesus is saying is even his death and his resurrection was in his own power. He was not just passive, a passive victim, but he was a conquering savior. It wasn't just the Romans and the Pharisees that put him to death, but Jesus himself had power and authority over his own death and his own resurrection. And it's only when Jesus handed himself over to the powers of darkness that they led him away to be crucified. No one could touch him before that point. And as we heard this morning from last week, when he rode into Jerusalem, they were selecting the lambs. And he came into Jerusalem as the Lamb of God. And on the very night that they were slaughtering the lambs, getting ready to celebrate the Passover, on that Golgotha's hill, Jesus was being slaughtered as the Lamb of God. And it was only because he allowed it. It was only because he gave himself over. Jesus says, I died. And that means that Jesus fought and condemned sin upon the cross. It says in Revelation 1 verse 5, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. Jesus in his own body upon the cross fought against sin. He judged sin and condemned sin. That great power, sin, that forever held us captive. The Bible says by one sacrifice, he has forever set us free. Hallelujah. I'm writing a lot of assignments at the moment. When these ALS students, you can ask Rob and the others, they write assignments for me. And it's incredible how open people are when they write assignments. I think it's fantastic. And they open up about their lives. They open up about their problems and their challenges. And the one thing that struck me, and a guy was asking me to pray for him in Pretoria. The one thing that struck me again and again, in African culture, the pressure that people are under from family to still do sacrifices. And it's come out in all my assignments today, and it's been interesting again. And the one guy said to me, he said, he's in Pretoria, he loves the Lord, he's a fantastic Christian young man. He said, I'm going back to KwaZulu-Natal to my family. And he said, they'll want me to do a sacrifice. And he said, I don't do that stuff anymore. He said, what must I say to him? And I thought, what am I going to say? And as I was talking to him, I felt the Lord say to him, I said to him, tell them there's already been a sacrifice that's been made. Tell your family there's already been a sacrifice. Jesus was your sacrifice. Hallelujah. And the Bible says you don't need any more sacrifices. Hallelujah. And we need to be strengthened in these days to say to our families, there's been a sacrifice. Jesus has been the sacrifice. Hallelujah. We don't need to slaughter goats and chickens and what the rest of it. Jesus has set us free. Can you say amen? Jesus has set us free. Jesus has also not just died upon the cross, but listen carefully, on the cross, Jesus also condemned sin upon the cross. Jesus took sin on himself to the cross. And when he died upon the cross, he carried, the Bible says, he carried our sins in his body to the cross, like this. And when Jesus died, sin that Jesus was carrying, it wasn't just Jesus that was punished. It wasn't just Jesus that was condemned. But the very sin that he was carrying was punished and condemned on the cross. And so Jesus took sin down with him, if you like. Jesus paid the price, but sin was condemned upon the cross. Hallelujah. And it says that in Romans chapter 8. It says that wonderfully in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, it says, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. The power of sin was broken upon the cross because of what Jesus had done. Hallelujah. It wasn't just that Jesus was punished. Sin was punished. Sin was condemned. And its power was broken over our lives. Michael Eaton says, sin is like a mighty king ruling over us with such power that we can't break free. And it condemns us. But instead of condemning us and banishing us from his kingdom, God condemns sin and banishes it from ruling over us. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Isn't that wonderful? And by doing that, Jesus also overcame death upon the cross. Revelation 1, it says, I died and behold, I'm alive forever and I hold the keys of life and death for everyone. And because he never sinned himself, although Jesus died, death could not hold him down. And 3 days later, what happened? He rose again. Hallelujah. And that's what we'll celebrate on Sunday. And so friends, right now Jesus has moved beyond death. He cannot die again, the Bible says. He defeated death. Jesus killed death. That's what he did. Death no longer has power over him. And so facing death for the Christian is completely different. It really is. I conduct lots of funerals sometimes, and there's a great difference between a Christian funeral and someone who doesn't know the Lord. And whoever believes in Jesus will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in him shall never die. Friends, We share in this victory. Do you know that one day death will be banished from us forever? Do you know that you will live forever and ever and ever and ever, and then you will start living forever and ever and ever? Do you know that we will never die? Do you know that? We will be like Jesus. We will live a never-ending life. Hallelujah. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sin because of what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. And so Jesus has removed the fear of death. And all fear has its roots in death and being afraid of death. And Jesus has broken the power of that. So friends, don't let fear take hold of you. We live with so much fear in this country. Don't let fear take hold of you. Because Jesus has broken the power of it. And then he says, thirdly, I am alive forevermore. I am alive forevermore. The cross was Jesus' payment for our sins, and the resurrections was God's acceptance of that payment. He said, I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. I accept your death and your paying the price for sin. And so we are saved by the cross and the resurrection. Otherwise, we're just forgiven corpses. But Jesus is risen, and we have risen in Christ. Hallelujah. And friends, one day we will see him as he is now, as John saw him. Not as he was in Bethlehem or in Calvary, but we will see him as he really is. We will also see him one day. Spurgeon says, we'll not see him with a peasant's robe around him, but with the universe upon his shoulders. Not with a reed in his hand, but with a golden scepter. And you will see him as the God-man, radiant in splendor, clothed with rainbows, wrapped in lightning, crowned with stars and with the sun under his feet. Hallelujah. I love reading this stuff. And so what John saw was Jesus, the glorified God-man. Something completely new in the universe. Let me say that again. It was something completely new in the universe. That's what John saw. Because in the realms of glory, right now, there sits a man with nail-pierced hands. And his name is Jesus. And he's a real man. And he's in glory. And he has fulfilled the destiny of the entire human race. What was lost in the garden, Jesus restored. What was lost in Adam was recovered in Christ. Hallelujah. And now he's ruling and reigning. Hallelujah. And he says, all authority has been given to me. And so in the resurrection, Jesus, listen carefully, took something of me and something of you, our humanity, our redeemed humanity, into heaven. I don't know how it's possible, but God's done it. And when he returns, something of Jesus will be displayed in me. I will be forever changed. And so, friends, Jesus has not just come to deal with your past, but he's come to prepare you for glory. He's come to prepare us for glory. Hallelujah. And the resurrection of Jesus guarantees my resurrection. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, beloved, we are God's children now, but what we will be has not yet appeared. It's not yet appeared. Paul says, it's not entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love him. But we do know that one day we'll see him as he is, and when we see him as he is, we will be transformed as well. Hallelujah. And so this whole message today, as I draw to a close, friends, is that we need a fresh vision of Jesus. We need to see him high and lifted up. We need to see him glorified, reigning and ruling, with power to change your situation, with power to change your life. And because of that, don't let anything unsettle you. Don't let anything unsettle you. God's ruling over the nations of the earth. God's plan and purposes are on track. He is the great I am. And I would encourage you to follow him this Easter if you don't know him. Make him your Alpha today and begin a new life with him. and trust him to be your amiga and carry you right through to the end. And as I close, what is the application of this? Well, Keller says, and I think it's just such a good point, if Jesus really is your alpha, it means that you need to put him first in everything you do. Put him first in your life. Put him first in your decisions. Put him first in your marriage. Put him first in the workplace. Put him first in your family. Don't start with yourself. Begin with him. Begin every day with him. He is your alpha. Begin with him. Hallelujah. Put him first. He's God first. But he's also the Omega. And one day everything will gather at his feet. One day this madhouse world we live in will have to report to Jesus. And it says that in Revelation, and we need to read it. Revelation chapter 20 says this, because we can get overwhelmed by world events. In Revelation chapter 20 it says, "And then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it, and from his presence earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life." Friends, one day this world will report at the feet of Jesus. Every president, every prime minister, every general, every important person, every businessman will report at the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine that you, the first time you really consider him is when you have to report to him? Can you imagine that? It's like the first time you're at school, the first time you meet your headmaster is when you're in his office about to get a hearing. They'll have to report to Jesus. And it will be a terrible day for them. But for us, it will be a glorious day. But it also means that if he's your amiga, as I close, he will get you to glory. Philippians 1 verse 6, Paul says, "I'm confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion." Hallelujah. God who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Hallelujah. Why? Because God doesn't start anything that he doesn't finish. And he will get you there. And so I would encourage you to make him the end point of your life, not just a means to the end. Jesus is not just there to help you achieve your goals, but he wants you to achieve his goals for your life. It's very different. He's not just there to help you to where you want to go, but he wants to take you where he wants you to go. Let your will be done and let your kingdom come. And so I would encourage you, don't lose your way in the middle. Don't lose your way in the middle. Know his hand upon your life. Know his word encouraging you, leading you. Don't lose your way in the middle. This great book was written by Steve Ferran. He just says this. He says, "Often people have personal mission statements. They develop a mission statement unique to them." You know, companies have mission statements and sometimes people have mission statements, your purpose statement. He says, "Some years ago I was getting near the door to middle life, and I decided to come up with a mission statement of my own." I may have read you this before. "I've been reflecting a bit about the first half of my life, and I was doing some hard thinking about the second half. You may find this odd, but it didn't take me long to come up with my mission statement. It didn't even take a day. It took me 2 minutes. And I've had this mission statement for 4 years now, and I haven't changed it. Here it is. Don't mess up." It's his mission statement. It's not long. It's not sophisticated. It's not polished. It's not even really religious, but it's real. "As I look over the rest of my life, I don't want to mess up." Do you? Of course you don't. "I don't want to mess up my marriage. I don't want to mess up my relationship with my kids. I don't want to mess up my integrity. I don't want to mess up. I want to finish the race that God's called me to run." Hallelujah. And friends, he will get me there. Because he's not just the alpha. He's the omega. But sometimes the problem is the middle bit. You know, it's like running a marathon. You always start off great. And the finish is always great because the cameras are clicking and your wife's waiting for you or your girlfriend or whatever. But it's in the middle that we hit the wall and we get discouraged. And we must watch that middle bit. But if you know Jesus is your Alpha, and if you know He's your Omega, if you know He was dead but He's alive, if you know that He who begun a good work will carry it on to completion, friends, then we can keep going. And so I encourage you this Easter to get a fresh vision of who Jesus is. So many people have a small view of Jesus. Don't. Read Revelation and get a big vision of Jesus. High and lifted up. And when you see Him ruling and reigning, He'll say to you, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'll see you through. I'll strengthen you. Keep your eye on me. Let me rule and reign in your life. Put me first. Look to me. It's not just how you start the race. Friends, it's not just how you start this race. It's how you finish it. You want to finish it well. Hallelujah. Amen? You want to finish it well. People are living longer and longer these days. It's a scary thought. Many of us may live into our 90s. That is scary. Start well. Do well in the middle. Finish well. Because Jesus is ruling and reigning. And He's with us. And He says to us, fear not. I was dead, but I'm alive. I'm your Alpha. I'm your Omega. The early church, those words carried them through the persecution. And they'll carry us through whatever challenges we're facing. Amen.